Middle East and Africa. The battle against malaria. Buzzkill. Jabs give hope, even as malaria adapts.
In the shade of a tree outside a clinic in Wakiso near Kampala, Uganda's capital, Hadija Mirembe watches over her nine-month-old son. She has been here for 2 days, ever since his temperature soared. He has malaria, she explains, as his chest rises and falls rapidly in his sleep. So does she. These days, even when she sleeps under a net, she often wakes to find a satisfied mosquito that has snuck inside. Millions of parents in Africa know the worry of caring for a child with malaria. Many know the grief of losing one. But two new vaccines give hope. The first, RTSS-AS01, has been tried on nearly 2 million children in Kenya, Ghana and Malawi since 2019 and is being used in 7 more countries this year. The second, R21 Matrix M, which is being made in larger volumes at less than half the price, started shipping on May 24th to the Central African Republic. Neither protects completely against malaria, but they will have a big impact. For the first time, we have a vaccine against a parasite, says Charles Shay Sisonge, who advises the World Health Organization, or WHO, on immunization in Africa. It's like landing on the moon. Just as exciting are other innovations, such as new kinds of mosquito nets. The toolbox is suddenly bursting, and not a moment too soon. As thrilled as they are by these breakthroughs, malaria experts also worry about emerging threats, hardier mosquitoes, drug-resistant strains of the parasite, and the disruptive effects of climate change. The fight against malaria is at a crunch point, says Peter Sands of the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis and Malaria, a Geneva-based body through which two-thirds of all international spending on malaria is channeled. Until about 2015, malaria deaths were falling steadily. Since then, progress has stalled. The disease, which once plagued ancient Rome and the swamps of Washington, D.C., is now almost entirely confined to Africa, where 95% of cases and 97% of deaths are recorded. Three-quarters of those dying are children under 5. When a mosquito infected with malaria bites a person, it injects a few dozen sporozoites into the bloodstream. These long, sprightly forms of the parasitic protozoan reach the liver within an hour. There, the parasite transforms and multiplies, causing infection and sometimes death. Stop the parasite early when the sporozoites are few in number and disease is averted. That is the premise of both new vaccines, which create antibodies that attach to sporozoites of the parasite Plasmodium falciparum, responsible for almost all of the deaths globally. The first to arrive was RTSS, which was developed in 1987 by GSK, a British company, and recommended by the WHO in 2021. Combining it with anti-malarial drugs in places with high seasonal transmission of the disease reduced malarial episodes and deaths in young children by nearly two-thirds compared with jabs or anti-malarial drugs alone. Adding bed nets probably raised protection to more than 90%. There are two problems with RTSS, supply and cost. GSK is committed to making only 18 million doses between 2023 and 2025. At least 40 million to 60 million doses are needed annually by 2026. Each child needs 4 doses at €9.30 or $10 each. But in October, the WHO recommended a second vaccine, R21, from the University of Oxford. Unusually, this vaccine has been co-developed by a manufacturer, the Serum Institute in Pune, India. Its boss, Adar Poonawalla, has invested in manufacturing the vaccine. As a result, some 25 million doses are already available this year. 100 million doses could be made annually. Better yet, R21 costs just $3.90 per dose. 4 doses are also needed. So far, it is not clear which vaccine might prove more effective or long-lasting. For now, the global health community is treating the two as equivalent. Poor countries are being shielded from the difference in cost through international purchasing with donor funds. But the greater availability of R21 and its lower price mean it will probably dominate. Development of this vaccine is also continuing. Other innovations may prove just as important. In 87% of countries where malaria is endemic, some mosquitoes have become resistant to the most common insecticide used to treat bed nets. One trial in Tanzania found that adding a second chemical almost halved the chance of infection in children. The WHO recommended the use of these dual insecticide nets last year. Other new tools include baits which lure mosquitoes with sugar, then poison them, or sheets of film that can be stuck to walls, releasing insecticide into the air. But the disease has new weapons too. Scoop a cupful of green water from the waste pools behind Dira Dawa University in eastern Ethiopia, and it is easy to spot the mosquito larvae swimming inside. In 2022, a malaria outbreak struck the nearby male dormitories. About 2,400 cases were recorded in the city, roughly 12 times the usual number for the dry season. Scientists noted that the disease clustered in places where they also recorded the presence of Anopheles stevensi, an invasive mosquito species. Tests confirmed the link. A. stevensi is native to parts of South Asia and the Arabian Peninsula. At some point it crossed into Africa, to countries unprepared for its quirks. It bites earlier in the evening than many other species, before people are under bed nets, and feasts both indoors and out. It is good at surviving dry spells, and it is unusually fond of breeding in artificial containers, such as water tanks, making it a deadly counterpart to Africa's chaotic urbanization. There were just 27 malaria cases in Djibouti when it became the first African country to detect A. stevensi in 2012. A decade later, there were 41,000. One model suggests that 126 million more people would be at risk of malaria if the intruder spreads across the continent. In Dira Dawa, with support from the American government, teams of workers are covering open barrels, adding larvicide to tanks, and tipping out the rainwater from discarded tyres. But it is hard to stop a mosquito that can breed in a bottle cap. Last month, Djibouti began releasing tens of thousands of genetically modified mosquitoes. They mate with wild mosquitoes and spread a gene that stops female offspring surviving to adulthood. Climate change is another cause of flux. Many mosquitoes struggle in temperatures above 28 degrees centigrade, so in the hottest places, malaria cases might fall. But in Africa's cooler highlands, the transmission season has lengthened by about 18 days since the 1950s. Most worrying are natural disasters. Annual malaria cases rose fourfold in Pakistan in 2022 after devastating floods. Meanwhile, P. falciparum itself is becoming resistant to antimycinin, the main drug used to treat malaria. Innovation is in a constant race with evolution. Instead of focusing only on nets, medicines and vaccines, countries must develop stronger health systems, better housing and wider education, and the environmental resilience to adapt to new challenges too, says Fredros Okumu of the Ifakara Health Institute in Tanzania. The world's governments and philanthropists spent $4.1 billion on fighting malaria in 2022, less than Americans spend monthly on pet food. That sum is barely half of what the WHO reckons is needed to reach global targets. Besides the moral imperative, three practical arguments call for a big push on malaria now. First, every case prevented makes further transmission less likely, saving money in the long run. Second, more spending could help avert painful trade-offs. The RTSS vaccine typically costs more for each life saved than other interventions like bed nets, while R21 is roughly on a par. Both are meant to be used alongside other tools, not instead of them. There are already too few nets and medicines to go round. The third argument for a big push is the huge cost of malaria itself. Days lost to malaria stifle learning in school and reduce productivity at work. A study of a malaria campaign in 27 African countries, which spend about $1 per person per year, found that children who benefited spent 5 months longer in school. Another found that treating cases among workers on a Nigerian sugarcane plantation raised their earnings and the labour supply by about 10% over the following weeks. And there is a final visionary argument, the promise of a world where malaria is eradicated. Existing vaccines save one life for every 200 children inoculated. Research is underway on improved versions. The ultimate goal is to add a third vaccine which blocks transmission. Then, reckons Dr. Adrian Hill, who led research on R21, the eradication of falciparum malaria would begin to look technically feasible. Miss Mirembe's son, battling his fever, is growing up in a world where malaria is a deadly scourge. Her grandchildren might grow up in a world without it.